In the shadows of society, where secrets linger and truth is buried, stories of betrayal, murder, and mysteries unfold. Welcome to Occupation Murderer, where we dwell into the darkest corners of the human mind, one chilling tale at a time.
Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole were both men that had twisted minds, murdering anyone crossing their paths. They said they killed over 600 people, but is it true? How long until people are safe on the streets again? I'm Mary.
And I'm Nevaeh. Come with us while we investigate this case.
Henry was born on August 23rd, 1936, and Otis was born on March 5th, 1947. There is an 11-year difference, which I find kind of crazy, since they did get into a sexual relationship later on. They were both raised by an abusive mother who forced them to wear dresses. He forced sexual trauma before turning 10, and his mother was a prostitute, and he forced Henry as a young child to sit in the room and watch while she serviced her customers. At the age of 10, Henry lost an eye because his mother ignored an infection for so long that they had to remove it. And by the time Henry hit puberty, he spent his time torturing animals and sexually assaulting his brother. When Henry was 23, he murdered his mother in 1960. They had gotten into an argument and she physically assaulted Henry. He hit her back, and when he told the police, "All I remember was slapping her alongside the neck. When I went to pick her up, I realized she was dead. Then I noticed that I had my knife in my hand and she had been cut." I doubt anybody believes that.
What I find crazy is how he thought that he was, like, there. But, like, you have to actually be in the right mind, but not in the right mind. You know what I mean? Because, like, obviously he wasn't in his right mind because he's a murderer. But what I find crazy is that he didn't think he had his knife in his hand.
Yeah.
So.
His paths did get really into how he grew up, though.
Yeah. And, like, I guess it's not, like, an excuse for the way people grow up, but, like, I kind of understand where he's coming from, but then again, I don't, like, support it.
Yeah, I don't support it, but I definitely understand.
But, I still find, like, you can definitely understand, but, like, you still question why they do what they do.
Yeah.
Especially if, like, you don't understand, like, the past and everything. Because, like, if I would have heard about this before researching it, I would not have been like, that's crazy. He's insane. Why would he do that to his own mother? Like, why did he do what he did? But after, like, hearing these facts, like, his mother sexually assaulting him, and, the way, like, she forced him
to sit in the room where she, quote-unquote, serviced her customers, yeah, that's got a lot to do with him.
So, yeah. Anyways, now we're gonna get into Otis Toole, and then we're probably just gonna sit and talk about, like, how, like, their relationship, like, grew together, but then, like, everything just, like, vanished, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
So, with Toole's childhood, it could almost be considered worse. Everyone that he thought he could trust ended up sexually assaulting him. He even grew up, and his older sister, she sexually assaulted him as well. And his father prostituted him to a neighbor at the age of 5. Which I don't understand. Because why would you do that to your son?
Yeah, I could never do that to my own child.
And he's 5 years old. Make that make sense.
And he grew up having to keep doing it as he got older.
Which is crazy. But his grandmother was no better. Like, when I think of a grandmother, I think of, like, a sanctuary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I think of a sanctuary. Like, when I see a grandmother, or just even any grandmother at this point, like, any old little lady, I feel like, oh my god, she's probably so sweet. She's probably got some grandma candy in her purse. She's probably gonna take care of you, make you food, feed you, you know? But no, that was not the case with this one. This grandmother, she was a Satanist who used to rob graves. She used Otis Toole to rob graves for her body parts, for her quote-unquote satanic rituals. What the heck is wrong with that? Like, girl, get it together. He was forced to perform sexual acts for his father's male friends. Again, his father prostituting him out, which is absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. When Tool reached ninth grade, he dropped out of school and began meeting men at local gay bars. I probably understand, like, why he did that part because of, like, all the
male friends that he was prostituted to.
Yeah. Tool's first victim was a traveling salesman who tried to pick him up for sex. And apparently, Tool was 14 when he murdered that salesman by running him over with his own car. When I was 14, I didn't even think about even driving because I wanted to stay in the passenger seat. But now I am driving, but whatever. But running a man over with his own car,
I personally believe that he deserved it.
Honestly, though, but like, can't support the murderer, but can't support the salesman.
If somebody tried to do that to me, I would do the same thing he did.
You can't admit to that. Anyways. And by the time Lucas and Tool met, Lucas had already served 10 years in prison for the murder of his mother, and Tool was already suspected of murdering 4 people and was a serial arsonist. I'm not gonna lie. I think arson is cool when it's, like, contained, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this is, like, a foreshadow event, but, like, burning people alive and that's yeah. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And burning buildings is even crazier. Like, I don't think I could. Like, I like fire and all, but, like, no, I could not. They met in 1976 at the soup kitchen and hit it off from day one. Which, like, I get I'm happy that they found, quote-unquote, love,
mm-hmm.
but that's not love.
Mm-mm.
Definitely not. By the end of the day, Lucas went to Tool's home and shared a bed with him. I find that absolutely crazy. Because, like, you just met. Granted, like, I know, like, in, like, movies and everything, mm-hmm. how, like, you could meet someone at a bar and then just go home, have a one-night stand, and then be done with it.
I want to know how they was okay with it. Like, did they just, like, right off the bat tell them about what they did, what they'd gone through as a child, even though they just met? Like, I want to know if they told each other or not.
I don't know, because, like, that'd be, like, kind of crazy. Like, if I had just met somebody and, like, say I was a murderer,
mm-hmm.
and say I just met you,
mm-hmm.
would I, if you were a murderer and I was a murderer, mm-hmm. aka like this,
yeah,
and we just met in a soup kitchen, would you tell me that you murdered somebody?
Absolutely not. I would not.
Why?
Because that's a secret. I'm not just gonna, that's like basically turning myself in.
So, say we were friends for, like, 5 years after we met. Would you tell me then?
Probably.
Okay, if I was said murderer, would you believe me if I would have told you that I burned someone alive? The day we met.
I don't know. I mean, it really depends on, like, how I see you as a person. Like, most of the time, whenever you meet someone, you can tell who they are just by looking at them.
Yeah. But so after, like, they went to bed together, they joined forces on a murdering spree across the country.
They traveled over 26 states in the 70s, killing and raping anyone that crossed their paths.
They mostly targeted hitchhikers, prostitutes, and migrant workers, picking them up to lure them to a quiet area and kill them.
And Lucas claimed that they never felt the slightest amount of guilt.
If that was me, I'd probably be crying every night.
I definitely would.
Because that's absolutely in freaking sane.
Killing someone, not even thinking about their family and how their family would feel.
And then Otis Tool, he had a niece. Her name was Becky Powell. And Lucas became interested in her. And from what I know, she was like, what, a teenager while he was like a grown adult.
They were still somewhere in their young, maybe early 20s, something like that.
Well, the age difference still isn't that great because she's still technically a quote-unquote child.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, back then, like, that doesn't really matter because back then was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there was already an 11-year difference between those two.
Mm-hmm. But so Lucas ran off with Tool's niece and abandoned him, basically. And allegedly, Tool killed 9 people just to blow off steam. Like, I get blowing off steam because your quote-unquote boyfriend, I guess that's what you say they were,
yeah,
left you for your younger niece.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I wouldn't go and kill 9 people just for that.
Yeah, I would be mad, but killing people is over the top.
Like, maybe, crashing your car, breaking into your house, doing something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could kill somebody.
They were already murderers at this point, though.
So, I mean, yeah. But Lucas ended up luring Powell into an isolated field and murdered her and scattered her body in the field. So, my question is, how are you going to, quote-unquote, lure if you basically, abandoned your boyfriend to be with her and run away with her just to kill her? Like,
I don't know.
That's absolutely insane. But soon after this latest killing, Lucas was arrested in Texas. Texas. That is really far away from here, honestly.
Texas is a big state.
Yes. But, you know, I wonder how they actually traveled. Do you think they walked public transportation, or do you think they had a car?
Well, this was still in the early 70s.
So they probably didn't have an actual car?
Unless they stole that. Maybe. There wasn't much information released on these two.
Yeah. Maybe they rode horseback, honestly.
I have no idea.
Tool was arrested later on in 1984 for burning a man alive. And there was my foreshadow event.
Mm-hmm.
He burned a man alive. And from what I've read, it was like a 60-something-year-old man. Which is absolutely crazy. Like, yes, that man has lived his life.
Yeah.
But, like, let him live until he dies peacefully. Like, let him live until he dies in his bed. At home. That's how I want to die. Like, if I was to die right now, wait until I get home. Please.
Yeah, why would you just go after an innocent old man?
Like, honestly.
Behind bars, Lucas and Tool began confessing to dozens of murders, and Lucas confessed to over 600, but law enforcement did not believe them, and they said Lucas actually later on confessed that confessing to murders and telling stories actually gave him special treatment while he was waiting on death row. He would get fast food and, you know, he'd get to go outside even more before he was later on killed.
No one's sure how much of the story is true, but the police cleared 213 unsolved cases based on their confessions.
Well, that wraps up today's episode.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode. We hope the chilling tale you've heard leaves you questioning everything you thought you knew.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.
Until next time, stay safe.